Good morning again. Good morning. Good morning. We're delighted to have all of you with us today, especially our mother, grandmother, Miss Ruth. We're delighted to have you with us today. What a resurrection! '98 looks good on you. All right, I think we're ready. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke 24. There are many passages we could read regarding the record of Jesus' resurrection. Luke 24 is one of my favorites. Of course, they're all my favorites. It tells the story of Jesus' personal encounter to two followers of his who were bewildered about the events that had taken place in Jerusalem, with the one in whom they had put their hopes had been crucified and buried. And then they heard rumors that he had risen. Well, after that, in verse 36, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them. Now we're talking about the 11. These two that he appeared to went and spoke to the 11 disciples. And so Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." They were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the written record of the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus. And what a message we have to tell the nations. Open our eyes, and may our hearts burn like it did with these first disciples. Amen. Well, today is a fifth Sunday, and on every fifth Sunday, we have begun to present missions as an emphasis. And so this year, Missions Sunday happens to occur on Easter, or maybe I should say Easter happens to coincide with our fifth Sunday missions emphasis. And I can't think of a better coincidence. Now, before you turn me off and say, oh, he's going to talk about missions, well, hold on here. I can't think of a better message for missions other than Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. In fact, I remember being on a mission trip to India about 8 years ago on Easter Sunday. And I thought, what an opportunity for me to come and encourage the church there to continue to preach the gospel and to preach the message of Christ's death and resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the best message for missions. In fact, it was the climax of the sermons of the first Christian missionaries. And they're all written for you, documented in the book of Acts. From Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 to the Apostle Paul's last defense of his faith before King Agrippa in Acts 26, the resurrection predominates. Throughout Acts, the message of the resurrected Christ was predominant to both Jews and Gentiles. You can read about that in Acts 17. Where Paul is speaking to the Athenian Greeks. And he ends with the resurrection. He ends with this reference to the man that God raised up, whom he will judge the world by. But where did the first missionaries get that message? Well, they got it directly from Jesus Christ. Each of the four Gospels in your New Testament ends with the story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And along with that message, each of the Gospels has some kind of commission to go and tell that good news to the nations, to every ethnic group in the world. And the reason for this is because of the outcome that will result from preaching that message to every tribe and language and people and nation that will create a kingdom and priests to our God so that they will one day rule and reign on earth. And that glorious outcome is the worship of the Lamb on the throne, where we cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb." That's the end result of this glorious message. And that global commission, with its gospel message, would require means to accomplish it. Because Lord knows, if those 11 fearful disciples were hovering somewhere hiding and quaking because the one they had followed for 3.5 years was now dead and gone, how were they going to be the ones to tell that message? Well, the means behind the commission would also come from Jesus Christ. And he says in Luke 24, "You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." You see, they believed our theme for this year: God and they can do more in 33 AD. doesn't rhyme with more, but in 34 AD, they began. The power came from Jesus when he fulfilled his promises by sending the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost. And that Spirit's power is our power to carry out the mission with the message. That's the greatest story ever told. And that global commission with its message is referred to in the book of Acts as well. And that power, that means to accomplish it, is found in Acts chapter 1. Verse 6 says, so when they had come together, again, this is the 11 disciples and Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. You know, the angels asked a very good question. Why do you stand looking into heaven? Why indeed? Why do God's people keep looking to heaven, asking when Jesus is going to return? Not only asking that question, but also debating it. This one believes he's coming at this time and in this way. Another believes he's coming at another time and another way. But what are they doing in the meantime before he comes? What are we doing? What are you doing? What are we doing with the message of Christ's suffering and death and resurrection? We know what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 15. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. God's plan A is the global proclamation of the good news about the gospel of the kingdom and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Recently, I heard the story about a man who had cancer. And he had it bad. He had lung cancer and he had liver cancer. And his story told how he was listening to an early morning TV show. And that TV show reported on a new medical procedure whereby doctors can remove a set of lungs, put the person on a heart-lung machine, put a new set of lungs in him, and give him a whole new life. Well, that man contacted the doctor who performed the operation. It happened to be in Chicago, And that man was able to have the same procedure done on him. They removed the old set of lungs, cleaned out the cancer that was there, put in a whole new set of lungs, and he had a new life. But not only that, they did the same thing with his liver. Out with the old, in with the new. And this man said this, Obviously, he was very thankful for the medical advancements that enabled such a thing to happen. But he said this. He said, when I woke up in the recovery room, I determined that I was going to tell everyone that I could about what happened. I determined that I would tell everyone I could about what happened. Do you think we can do that? Do you think we can do more of that in 2024? Do you think that we can tell the message that everybody can have a new lease on life if they will put their faith and trust in the one who died on a cross, was buried, and he rose again the third day, and he sits in heaven to come back again someday? I think that God and we can do more of telling the good news about Jesus Christ in 2024. Are there not more people to tell? Are there not more people who need to hear that Jesus Christ died for sinners and rose again, conquering sin and death and hell and the grave? Are there not more people in places that still haven't heard the name of Jesus Christ? Or if they have heard of him, they've not heard of him for who he really is. They've not heard that Jesus Christ is Lord of all lords and King of all kings. There are millions who have yet to hear about the name that is above every other name. They've not heard that the name of Jesus is the only name under heaven given among humans whereby anybody can be saved from their sins or have their sins forgiven. And in the words of Oswald J. Smith, a Canadian pastor and missionary statesman of the 20th century, who wrote in a little booklet, The Challenge of Missions, he wrote, why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everybody has heard it once? That's some challenging thoughts. He had some other challenging quotations and mottos that he collected along the way. Of course, we all know what William Carey said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. The church that does not evangelize will fossilize. Only as the church fulfills her missionary obligation does she justify her existence. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, said C.T. Studd, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Adoniram Judson said, the prospects are as bright as the promises of God. We can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. Alexander Duff said, the church which ceases to be evangelistic will soon cease to be evangelical. And oh, how true that is. Untold millions are still untold. Sympathy is no substitute for action. Christ alone can save the world, but Christ cannot save the world alone. The best remedy for a sick church is to put it on a missionary diet. God had only one son. David Livingston said, and he made him a missionary. The Apostle Paul asked the right questions in Romans chapter 10. When he says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. For people to believe, they must have hear a message they can believe, a message that's true. There's all kinds of messages out there, but they're not true. There's only one true message. And Paul also tells us that faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. We have that word or message about Jesus Christ. We have that message about Jesus, the Messiah, who lived a perfect life that we could never live, who suffered and died for sins and crimes against God he never committed, who rose again, proving he was God's righteous and holy Son, God himself in human flesh. So not only can we tell as many people as possible about that worthy one, but so can anyone who has that message. And those who have received and believed that message are scattered throughout the world. God has his people all over planet Earth. God has already reached many nations, tribes, languages, and peoples groups throughout the world, and he continues to do so. Wherever the good news about Jesus Christ has gone, God has set up a beachhead that enables the gospel to go forward and spread with divine power to destroy strongholds and destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to Christ. Such is the warfare God's people worldwide are engaged in. We are engaged in that warfare. Oh, we may not be engaged in ways that our other brothers and sisters are engaged. For just yesterday, I received images of a church in Pakistan that was burned recently by those who hate Christ and those who oppose the gospel. Our church may likely never be burned, but we can be assaulted in many other ways, can't we? We are engaged in that war, and so is every Christian God has already called and saved throughout the 7 continents on our planet. If you recall from a previous Mission Sunday, as a church, we are involved in supporting, sending, or going to 5 of the 7 continents. Do you kids remember that? You got the number right. You remember what the continents are? Africa, Asia, Europe, and North and South America. You are involved in going, sending, or supporting those who are taking the message. And even now, 3 of the team members of New Foundations International are in Europe and Southeast Asia. And I want to show you some things that they sent. Brad, if you'll pull that up, and if we could get the lights. Because I want this message to be both uplifting and challenging. Uplifting as we hear the message of Jesus Christ risen, and challenging that there's more to tell. But uplifting also in the fact that you are already involved in a global reach. Not only through New Foundations International, but through others that we support. We support others in Europe. We support the Nelsons in Montenegro. We support our brother and sister in another part of Southeast Asia. And we support another brother and his wife as they serve, to engage churches in this global outreach. You are part of that. But we've gotten this. Go ahead and wait a minute. Let me turn this thing on. All right. Whoa, let's go back. We just got word, and you can't read this, I understand this, but this is the name of 20 churches in Ecuador, some of which are working among the Quechua people, but 20 churches with 20 pastors who have requested God's plan for his disciples. And if you total all this number up, it's 510 copies that they want of God's plan for his disciples, which is the manual that New Foundations International uses. I'll refer to that a little bit later. But this is spread like wildfire down in Ecuador. But not only that, we have our brothers here, the two brothers, Tim Bunn, that you're familiar with, and Randy Matthews, who they've just been in Thailand. And these are brothers here who are going to translate God's plan for his church, another one of the manuals, God's plan for his church. They're going to translate that into Thai. Then they went to Cambodia, where about 30 participants, 30 disciples, are going through God's plan for his church, and five of them completed it and received certificates. And this is the certificate that they get when they complete that. This is the certificate that says that they've completed it for God's plan for his church. And part of the lesson in that manual, the final lesson, chapter 7, is to develop a 10-year plan as to how they're going to take the message and spread it to their Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. For you see, one of the best ways to reach those who are yet unreached is to reach it through people who already know the culture, who already know the language, or at least have more access to people who do know the language in the unreached people group. They are the best ones that we get to help to equip to do that work. Because I certainly don't have enough years in me to learn another language. Two, actually, you'd have to learn, as some of our brothers and sisters have. But our brothers are in Vietnam right now. In Vietnam, they are celebrating 10 years of God's plan for his church. 10 years of using this manual in over 100 different locations throughout Vietnam. Over 100, I think it's like 180 different groups that they have presented the material to, and now they're celebrating 10 years. And I remember being there in Vietnam, and what an encouragement it was for me to be able to share this material with them. But then this is probably one of the most exciting things. This is a brother in Nigeria that we're working with who is speaking to a group of children. And we've just learned from this brother that they want to use God's plan for young disciples in their schools. In their schools. And they'll use the English version because in the schools they teach English and they speak English. So God's plan for young disciples is going to be used in schools in Nigeria. It's also going to be translated, God willing, into Acholi, where you have already contributed Bibles to the Acholi language. They're going to be translating God's plan for young disciples in Acholi so they can use that in their churches. You are doing this. What is the future outreach? Well, one of our team members is where? Can you read that? Where?
Ukraine.
Ukraine. And we just got word he is over here in this area. Which those of you who know Ukraine know this is the most dangerous area at all. And he said while he was there, the Russian planes flew overhead. He is over 20 miles from the Russian border. And he is taking God's plan for his disciples. He has taken a few copies in Ukraine. In the Ukrainian language, he has taken a few copies, and everywhere he goes, I think at least five pastors, he said, this is exactly what we need. And it is almost completed, almost finished, the whole thing in Ukrainian. So once it's done, it's going to be able to be printed, and it's going to be able to be used throughout Ukraine. The manual, God's Plan for His Disciples, is also being translated currently into Portuguese. And what country is this, kids?
Brazil.
That's the largest speaking, Portuguese-speaking language or nation in the world. So once this gets done in their language, who knows where God can use it. Because there's other countries, right, Brother Don, that speak Portuguese? There are other countries, some in Africa, one in Europe, who speak Portuguese. So who knows what further outreach opportunities there will be for us in the future to use God's plan for his disciples, God's plan for young disciples, which I have a copy of that here as well. God's plan for young disciples. And then here's God's plan for his church. This is actually in the Arabic language. And you know how many Arabic-speaking nations there are. And then here we have unengaged and unreached. We have engaged yet unreached and no longer unreached. And you can see what's no longer unreached around the world, but you can also see what's yet to be reached. And you get to be a part of that. Thank you, Brad. You are already a part of this work of taking the gospel to the world. Now, I've been asked, what is my role in serving with New Foundations International? Those of you who know, I have gone on several mission trips with the NFI team. And currently, I serve as a support person to the other team members who are leading the trips to these different countries. I'm more of a support person. There are possibilities for me to go at the end of May this year, beginning of June, to Asia to visit three countries. God willing, I'm applying for a visa to one particular country, and I'll have to apply for a visa to another country. I already have the visa to India. But when I go on these trips, I go to assist the team leader in presenting some of the lessons that are in God's plan for his disciples, or depending on what they have, God's plan for his church. I will present some of these lessons to relieve, to help support the team leader who introduces it, or he presents the majority of the work, but I help with that. Eventually, I may be the one to head up a trip myself. But for now, I need to learn more how to introduce the material to a group that's not had the material before. And also to follow up with those who have the materials and how to encourage them to complete them. And I want to participate in some graduations too. And that's what I was hoping with the one church there in Asia, for me to go. And since you provided the funds, and they have now 500 copies of God's Plan for His Disciples, I want to encourage them to complete that, and then I can go for a graduation. But I'm also excited about my retirement this year from my many years at Social Services in Harnett County, and I'll be more involved here at Fellowship Bible Church as well. So I'm excited to see what God is going to do there and what he's already doing here in the training of five of our men who are involved in the eldership training. In fact, I want to ask you to stand so that you know we have Daniel Carter, we have John Burt, we have Daniel Doss, we have Brad Locke, and we have Tommy White. And we need you to pray for these brothers as they're involved in the eldership training, which will include the leadership of this church eventually. But I'm eager to do what the Lord has in store for me, and there's plenty more to do in 2024, right? God and we can do more in 2024. And with God's help, maybe some of you men can be trained to go and teach others what you have learned in order to help establish churches or renew existing churches, because that's the reason this material was presented: to establish new churches or to renew existing churches. It started with this manual, God's Plan for His Church. Then in Vietnam, they wanted to know, do you have anything for those who are new converts? And so now we have God's Plan for His Disciples. And then they weren't satisfied with that. They said, do you have anything for little children who are disciples? And so now we have God's Plan for Young Disciples, and you are part of that. So yes, Easter Sunday and missions is indeed a happy coincidence. And the message of resurrection and new life in and through Jesus Christ is a message needed worldwide. It's a message you need. It's a message your neighbors need. It's a message your coworkers need. It's a message, if you go to school, it's your fellow students need it, because it comes with the authority of Jesus Christ, who said, all authority is given in me under heaven and earth. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It comes with a message of hope. It comes with the message of the forgiveness of sins that we all need. And maybe there's somebody here who's desperately crying out, I want my sins forgiven. And the glorious truth is that you can have your sins forgiven, every one of them, by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, was buried, and he rose again with salvation in his wings. You can have that. You can have a personal relationship with this risen Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just theory. It's not just words that we say. It's not just a doctrine we believe. It's a person that we receive and we relate to. You can have that. And everybody you know can have that if you'll be bold enough to tell them. And that's the ongoing challenge for the church worldwide and for Fellowship Bible Church. What's our mission? To know Jesus Christ through his life, death, resurrection, and to make him known to people everywhere. You can do that. And may the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and that dwells within us enable us to continue this global outreach in the days to come. We have one more song to sing. It's called the Resurrection Song. So let's stand as we sing that song.